All right, I want to ask that you pray with me once more as we begin to open up the Word here and get into the Word and what it has to say. And let's just pray that God would really prepare our hearts to hear from Him this morning. I think we have heard from the Lord a lot in the songs that we sing and just being together, definitely. But we really hear in a special way when we open His Word. So let's pray to Him now. Lord, thank You again so much that we've gathered together here. We just pray that, Lord, You would move me out of the way and just have the power and freedom to do and say what You want to do through Your Word here today, that the message would come to us clearly and powerfully, Lord, and that we would know what You want us to do with this, Lord. And also, we pray that You soften our hearts, that You change us in any way that You need to change us, that You would just do that, Lord. We love You and we praise You, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, in my Bible it says, Joshua to succeed Moses. And you have to understand, Moses was a very highly thought of and very much a man of God. And people really looked up to him in an incredible way because all the ways that God used Moses and worked through Moses, and the nation of Israel just continues to have great esteem for Moses. But he was called God's friend. It was said that Moses met with God face to face. God used Moses in an incredible way. But Moses was about to die, and the next guy was going to take over and lead the people under God. But lead the people and lead them into the promised land, and his name is He'd been with Moses a long time now. Remember, Joshua went into the promised land and helped spy it out and say, we can do this. And everyone said, no, we can't. And because of that sin, they wandered around in the desert for 40 years. And Joshua was with him. He was with Moses all that time. But now it comes time for Moses to die before the people go into the promised land and for Joshua to step up and to be that leader. And Moses has some things to say to Joshua. He says to him, let's start in 31:1. He says, so Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as He has said, as He did to Sihon and Og and the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when He destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall go to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Now Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And later in that same chapter, again, it's just repeated. It's repeated later in verse 23. I will be with you. That's God's promise to the people of Israel. It's His promise to that He's sent out to do this job, but that He's not doing it alone. It's God that's leading the way. It's God that is there with Him. It's God that is going to take care of the people that are there that will oppose them and that are in the land that they need to remove from the land. It's God that leads the way, and God is with them. And because of that, He, knowing that God is with him, he can have courage. He can be strong. He can be bold. He doesn't have to be afraid. Now, again and again in the Bible, God comes and He tells people, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. And we don't have to be afraid because God is with us. If we've trusted Christ as our Savior, if we've surrendered our life to Him, if we're living in Him and we have new life because of Him, we don't have to be afraid anymore. Amen? And this is a very simple sermon today, okay? Very simple idea. We need to remember that God is with us. God is with us. He is there. And if God has given you a job and He set you aside to do something, you're not doing it by yourself. You're not doing it alone. God is there with you. In fact, He's out ahead. He's making things happen that you have no idea and that you can't see. You have to see it that same way. Just as Joshua going into the promised land, God said, I'm going ahead. I'm going ahead and I'm going to take care of business before you even get there. And when you get there, I'll be taking care of business. It's going to be me doing the work, not you. What you got to do is not be afraid and remember that I'm with you. And that was Joshua. And that's the experience that Joshua had. But you see this again and again in the Bible. And we as Christians today, we sometimes forget that if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and we're indwelt by His Holy Spirit and God has given us new life and God has started something in us that He is not going to quit on and He's going to see it through until completion, until we're with Him. He's with us. We're never alone. He's always there with us. He's caring for us. When we feel the most abandoned and alone, we're not. God is there with us. But we forget this sometimes and we think that it's all on us and we think that we have to figure out all our problems and get things figured out, but we don't. Amen? Because God is there with us. Like Joshua. Now, we're going to read in 2 Timothy 4, 16 through 22. We're going to read that about Paul now, who was Timothy. And you can see a very similar thing here that he has. And what we'll do is we'll just read through this whole thing and then we'll go back and we'll talk about it in a little more detail. He said, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. And He strengthened me. So that through me, these glasses don't work when the tears start to come in. I wish they made them so that they work. But the Lord stood by me and He strengthened me. So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca, or your translation may say Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, and Miltus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as does Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Grace be with you. And forgive me if I mispronounced any of those hard names. It's probably one of the hardest parts of being out there doing this. So this is Paul. And Paul's experience of what he shares. He's writing to Timothy to encourage Timothy to be a strong finisher in what he's doing. To finish the race and to finish it strong and to be that pastor in Ephesus that Timothy's called to be, to do his work there. And so in this, let's actually step back. Let's look at some other pastors that remind us that God is with us. And then we'll go back. I did this a little bit different order this time. Remind myself. But in Joshua, book of Joshua, very much like we saw in Deuteronomy, but now the difference, this is God speaking to Joshua. So follow how that happened. You know, Moses had some things to say to Joshua that God gave him to say that he needed to remind Joshua of. But Moses died. And now it's just Joshua doesn't have Moses to go to and talk to about God. And God is directly talking to Joshua, he says this, about going into the promised land. Have I not commanded you? When did he command them that? He commanded that through Moses and what Moses had to say. And he had to say it to Joshua and the whole people. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's his word to Joshua. And I think in context we understand he's speaking to Joshua and he's speaking about going into the promised land. But I think as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, God's Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. We know that this is true for us too. Wherever we go, God is with us. We don't have to be terrified. We don't have to be dismayed. We can be strong and courageous. So that was the word to Joshua. That's a very similar example about how God is with him when he's sent out to do something that's difficult. Now here's another one that I like that reminds us how God is with us, is the Great Commission, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So here's the work of the church. This is what the church is supposed to do. This church is supposed to go out to all the world and teach and proclaim the name of Jesus, share the gospel with people. When people are converted, those people are to be baptized, and they're to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as part of that, you don't just stop there, but you teach them to observe all the Word of God and what the Word says in their lives. It says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. If you love Jesus, you obey His commands. Amen? And His commands are not burdensome. They're good and they're wonderful to follow, and they give us better life than we ever could imagine. But he says this is the job of the church, and this is the work, what you have to do. And he talks about, you know, basically going out to the ends of the earth with this. Now, we know that those people that he was talking to right there, they themselves couldn't take it out to the ends of the earth, and they couldn't do it till the end of the age. But what he reminds us is this is for all of us. He says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This job that God has given us, we don't do it on our own. We do it by His power and through Him. And He goes ahead, just like He did going into the promised land. He goes ahead and said, "I'm going to go ahead. I'll prepare the hearts. I'll work on the soil. You sow the seed. I'll work on the soil." And that's what God does. We have to understand that. And we know that He doesn't leave us in this task, even though sometimes we put too much on ourselves. And I apologize if this hits at home to any of us here, like I was planning this sermon just for you in any way, because sometimes people tell me that, you know, "I think you were knowing what was going on in my life and you picked this sermon." And hey, this is just what was here in Timothy that we see. I just remind her that we need to know that even if it seems like all the world is abandoning us and people are going away, that God is there. He's with us. He's always there with us. And the work that we have to do, we're really not doing it on our own. It's Him that's doing it. And we have to remember that. If things don't look like they're going so well, remember this: I'm with you always to the end of the age. Maybe we need to pray more. Maybe we need to seek. Maybe we need to trust more. Maybe it doesn't go the way we think it should go, but it goes the way that Jesus wants it to go. Now here's in Hebrews, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Some people think it's Paul. Correction on that. All right, so keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And that comes from Deuteronomy, we looked at earlier. But here he says, as a follower of Christ, you need to live your life free from the love of money and to be content with what you have. And what you're being asked to do is not natural. It's not easy. It's not normal. But he says, because God is with you, you can do that. And you can apply that to a lot of different things. But here is an example of how in Scripture it says, you know, you can do this, you can follow this command, and why can you do it? Because God is with you. You know, we can be content because God is with us. And he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We need to remember that. So there's a New Testament promise that we know is written and it's taken from the Old Testament, quoted from the Old Testament, but he tells us and shows us how to apply that to our lives as followers of Christ. Alright, so those are just a few of the passages. There's lots more. I could pick a lot more. You might have some favorites that you could put up there that give us this idea about how God is with us and He never leaves us. In this passage in Timothy that we looked at, Paul writes, he says, At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. He was being charged, was being in prison, and he had already talked about how everyone was gone. You know, he had sent some people away. Some people had deserted him because they loved the world more than they loved Jesus. They deserted him. They left him. And now at his defense, when he was probably really needing people to come alongside him and stand beside him, and all the great work that Paul had done for the Lord and for people and the churches and sharing the gospel and what he did, he was by himself at his first defense. Nobody was there at his side. No man, no human being. But look at Paul's attitude. He says, don't charge it against them. You know, he could have felt down. He could have felt abandoned. I mean, he did. He was, I would say, in a human sense, he's struggling with the fact that he's alone there, that nobody's by his side. But in the deep, dark moment of despair, the difficult times, he held on to what every single one of us can hold on to. Even though every man around me lets me down, even though every person that I count on is not there when I need their help, God's there. And he's standing by my side, and he's giving me strength, and he's helping me. And he's giving me courage, and he's going to give me what I need to get through any circumstance and anything that I'm going through. And if it's really him that's calling me to do it, he's going to give me what I need to do it. And that's what he remembered. And he says here, he hasn't got to that part, but what he says, his attitude is, may it not be charged against them. So when Paul felt abandoned and alone by people, he had the choice to have a bad attitude about it and to project that onto the people, but rather no, he showed God's grace and compassion and caring. He didn't want that to be charged against them. And so you and me today, if we feel let down by our friends and the body of Christ, people around us, this is the way to respond. Not with bitterness, you know, not with, you know, cutting the relationship off or anything like that. This is how Scripture tells us and shows us that we should respond. Now, he says this, and it's the biblical but, you know, one of the powerful words in the Bible, one of the great theological words. You know, here's the case, but it's different with God. He says, but the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me. And that's one of the things, you know, that the Lord does as he comes by us. You know, we were reading in our Sunday school class back there about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts to strengthen the body of Christ. And here we have the Lord standing by him, giving him strength. And what is it to do? He strengthens me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. He knew what his mission was. He knew what he had to do. He knew he had to proclaim the word, and he knew that he had to get out to these people who were not Jewish, who didn't know even as much as the Jewish people knew about the Old Testament and those things, you know, and the Messiah. He had to get out. He had to take the gospel out. And that was God's plan, and that's what God was doing, how he was revealing himself. It was the time to be revealed to the Gentiles, and he'd showed Paul that was what he was going to do. He called him to that. Didn't mean it was easy. It was very difficult as he was going through that. And he knew, though, that God gave him the strength to do it. And he was standing by his side. He said, so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. And maybe literally, Paul's rescued from the lion's mouth, but he's rescued. Paul was beaten, mistreated, stoned, in prison, all these different things. People thought he was dead at one point. They drug him outside of the city. He was saved from all those things, he said, and he was rescued by the Lord, who's always at his side, who never leaves him. Now he says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And here, I think that this is that important rescue that we need to understand. That I don't think Paul is saying that God ultimately will deliver him from anything bad that could ever happen to him, from ultimate death in this. But he says, I know in the end that what God is going to do is he's going to bring me to heaven to be with him. And he's going to rescue me from anything that this earth can do to me. You know where it says, you know, don't fear men. All they can do is kill you. All they do is kill the body. They can't kill the soul. And God is the one who gives life to the soul and gives us salvation. And so that's the thing. So like with us, as we see this and we think about it, we know that doing God's work may be challenging, may be difficult. We may sometimes feel like we really lack what we need to do it. And we may ultimately face a lot of pain and rejection and difficulty in what we do. Those things are all possible. But we know that God is the one who strengthens us to do his work. He rescues us so that we can continue to do his work. And ultimately, he will rescue and deliver us to be with him for all of eternity. And we'll be safe and we'll be fine and we'll be good there. Amen. So just, I can apply this to so many situations. May I have permission to get personal here? I mean, it'd be easy sometimes to walk around this property and like look at some of the things that are decaying and are falling apart, and just to look at it and think, oh my, what are, these buildings are literally just rotting away. And it's a slow rot, you know. You can enjoy them for a while, but you know, and they just, you know, to kind of have that feeling and look around and do that. Or in the summertime, sometimes when the grass starts to grow and it gets really long, and it's like, it's a pretty big job to be out here cutting the grass and doing these things. And sometimes Hannah gets so tired of looking at that long grass and waiting for me to do anything about it or anybody else. She just goes out and gets on the lawnmower and starts cutting it and doing stuff with that. But sometimes it's very easy to feel like too much is on your shoulder. I think we feel this sometimes, you know, that there's a lot, you know, that we struggle. We don't know how to get other people to see some needs that are there. Some of them are physical. Some of them are other kinds of needs, you know, to get people interested and doing those things. And the truth is, we can sometimes forget that the Lord is with us, for one thing. And what the Lord wants to happen is going to happen. And sometimes we might want to do one particular thing at one particular time and make something happen, and we can't, because that's not God's plan. That's not that time, you know. We have to just wait on the Lord, okay? And we need to know that, though, that He's there with us, and we're not doing it. Now, that doesn't mean that you guys are all off the hook and everything, amen? Because I think God is with you, and we as a body need to really come together. And we do have things that we need to take care of, in the interest not only of the church physically, but spiritually. And we need to be about His work and what He wants us to be doing. And we do it as a body. We do it together. And Christ is the head. Amen? These are the things we're talking about in Sunday school quite a bit. But fact is, this sermon, it hits extremely close to home, I would say, for us this week. And I'll confess, when I said, hey, this might be preaching to somebody, my wife would know that I was talking to her. So I wasn't talking to you, if you're wondering. And I hope this is okay, Hannah. But this really spoke to me in that, you know, we set out to try to do something here, and you know, you just run into like a lot of obstacles and needs and different things. And sometimes, you know, I'm not even aware of all those things. I don't even look at them. I'm real focused on other things. And it gets to Hannah, and she sees it. And then because it gets to her through her emotions and things, she brings it to me. And then I see it, and I'm aware of it. I understand it. But I think what God was just showing me the most, because, I mean, thankfully, I was already in this long before any I heard from Hannah or anything. But that sometimes we feel a little bit alone in some of the things that we have to do around here. But we're not. God is there with us. I mean, we invite you to be there with us too. We really want you to. We don't always know how to do that, but we invite you to be there with us. But we do have to know and have to take courage that even if you're not there with us, God is there with us. And it's the same for you. Like, if I'm not there with you sometime, if you're going through something hard or challenging, which you will, because I can't be there with you all the time. And I have already let some people down that think that I abandoned them in their time of need or something, and I really wish that they would forgive me and that they wouldn't feel that way about me. But this is how we need to respond. We need to know that God is the one who's with us. That human beings are going to let us down. They can't be all places at all times, do all things, but God can, and He's there. And also to not hold it against people, to not charge it against them, to not hate them, you know, when they're not there for you. Now, I would say another thing I think about for some of you here is a number of you have faced death over the last number of years, and people that have been close to you have gone on. It's just like we have to remember that God is with us. You have to remember God is with you. God is with you. Sometimes you can feel more alone than you want to feel. And you can feel abandoned. Not because the person meant it, you know, the person wouldn't want to do that. But maybe it's by God, because of what he allowed to happen. But it's true here for you too. You've got to know that God is with you, that you're not alone, that God is there for you, strengthening you, giving you help, rescuing you. You know, maybe when you're alone, you feel like, oh, man, I need rescued from this thing that's happening. You know, I can't handle this particular thing. This isn't what I did or what I do. But remember, God's there with you. And I think it is the truth. A similar comparison would be with the body of Christ, is that we need to be there for each other too, as much as we can, and God leads us and helps us to do that. That we do those things together. Alright, so I think this is a very personal sermon here. He goes on, and he kind of has some final remarks. He talks about some people, Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus. How many of you have seen The Wonders? Remember that movie, The Wonders? Am I the only one? They're like one-hit wonders, the band that they played. You guys should see that. And they had their name was The Wonders. O-N-E-D-E-R-S. Wonders. But everyone called them the Oneaters. And when I see this name, I kind of want to say Onesiphorus. And maybe that is how you say it. I don't know. But I don't think it's one Sephorus or anything like this. And these are people that Paul had worked with. You know, we know especially a lot about Priscilla and Aquila and what they did and how they served God and how God used them to teach other people. So he mentions these people. He's talking about them. Erastus remained at Corinth. And these are some of the people that maybe could have been there for him that weren't, you know, that he wasn't holding anything against. He says, Erastus remained at Corinth and I left Trophimus, who was ill at Miletus. And he tells Timothy, because remember he was telling Timothy he wants him to come to him. He says, do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do, so here's some people that he did have some contact with, Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. And I'm not going to touch a lot on those, but this part here, again, it's like the Lord be with you. It's a similar kind of a thing. You know, this idea, Emmanuel, God with us, as Christ is with us. But may the Lord be with you. Grace be with you. So when we think of grace being with you, that's God's grace being with us too. You know, that's like almost another way of saying God be with you. God be with you. Say grace be with you. I mean, grace is just God's unmerited favor and goodness that He gives to us that we don't in any way deserve. God's grace given to us. Now, just want to have one more passage I'd like to share with you just as we prepare to close here. And this is Psalm 124, 1. And this is a psalm about how God was there for the people of Israel. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. And I really remember this, singing this before. You know, if the Lord had not been on our side, then our enemies, they would have swallowed us alive. But the Lord was there. He's on our side. He's watching over, protecting, delivering. And you and I, even though we're tempted to forget about this, we need to remember that God is there with us and on our side too. And that's the big point for today. It's like a one-point sermon. God's with you. So go be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love in our lives, Lord. We ask you to help us to quit living in our own strength and forgetting that you're there, but just remember that you're there on our side, and just help us to be receptive to everything that you want to do in our lives. We thank you, we love you, we praise you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.